A couple of weeks ago, I think toward the beginning of the summer, I gave a Tanur Halacha shiur that wasn't really a shiur, it was more of a question that was posed. And I want to return to that question. The question that was posed is why it is that believe that it's mutter to do yoga. Yoga is an exercise that involves a lot of stretching and working on balance, and it's certainly very healthy, but if you do a little bit of research on it, you find that it was used for thousands of years before anyone ever cared about exercise. People have only cared about exercise for the last several decades, but it was used for thousands of years as a way of sharpening the mind for religious service, and much of that religious service was avodah zarah. The whole process was a way of when you're balancing yourself on one knuckle or something, your mind has to be extremely focused, and as a way of meditating and connecting to an avodah zarah. And generally speaking, we're not in favor of things that were used for avodah zarah, and we try not to do things that were used for avodah zarah. So I sent the shaila around to different people, and again, most of the people that I sent it to said, I don't know anything about yoga, and therefore I can't answer the question. One person who I sent it to said, was willing to answer the question, but from their response, it was evident that they didn't know anything about yoga. They started talking about bowing to the yoga, saying things to the yoga. I think they thought the yoga is a thing rather than an exercise, that it's like a statue rather than a way of doing things. So you get that with a grain of salt, and you can't really accept such a psak when a person doesn't know what the metzius is. But I wanted to go through what the possible tzedei heter are, and I came across something in the sugya of chukas akum that I never noticed before, but it is very clear to me now, and that is that the Maharik is the main shita that's always quoted when it comes to chukas akum, because the Ramah quotes the shitas Maharik. What is the shitas Maharik? The Maharik says the definition of chukas akum is be'echad mishnei panim. It can happen in one of two ways in order for something to be considered chukas akum. Ha'echad is marik in shorosh peiches, it's quoted by the Darkei Moshe and some kofayin ches in Yoredeya. Ha'echad, one way that we would consider something chukas akum, hu adavar she'ein ta'amo nigle. An activity or thing, an item, that reason is not understood, you don't know the reason for this. De'kivan shu osa davar mishuna, because if a Jew does something that's unusual, that's different, she'ein bo tam nigla, that doesn't have a clear, understood reason. Ela shehem nog in Cain, we're just doing it because they do it, because the goyim do it. As nira vaday shenimshach acharehem umoda lehem. Those are key words. The Maharik says, when a Jew does something that you can't explain, everyone's going to say, why doing it? It must be that he's moda to the Ovdei Kochavim, and that he wants to be just like the Ovdei Kochavim, and he's going to do all the practices of the Ovdei Kochavim. And that's the definition of chukas akum. Maharik says, the second definition is anything that involves pritzus. Anything that the goyim do that involves pritzus. That second definition, that's not our business for now. Our business is the first definition. Based on that Maharik alone, I'm a Talmud of mine, Sam Lowry, a tshuva that was put out by the I forgot already who. Eretz Chemda. By Eretz Chemda in Eretz Yisrael, where they put out a tshuva on this topic, where they said, based on that Maharik, it's a davar pashut, that this would be mutter. Why? Because you're not doing something that doesn't have a tam nigla, that anyone's going to look at you and say, why on earth would anyone do that? It must be that he's moda to the Ovid Chavim. No one would think that when they see a person doing yoga. They would think, why is he doing that? He's doing it because he's doing exercise. That's why he's doing it. And therefore, they say it's 100% mutter to do all the exercises and the stretches and the positions that they do, because based on that Maharik. However, what they don't take note of is that if you look in the Ramah, when the Ramah quotes the Ramah does not say the same thing as the Maharik. He quotes the Maharik, but gives a different reason. He says there are two ways something could be chukas akum. The second way, again, is pritzus. The first way, again, is something that doesn't have a tam nigla, something that we don't know the reason. But he veers from the Maharik in one very critical way. The Maharik says the reason why something that has no explanation is asur mishum chukas akum is that everyone's going to think, why else on earth would you be doing that if not that you're modus the ovik chavim? Carefully, if you look carefully at the Ramah, that's not what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, "Bedavar shenagu leminagu lechok vein tam bedavar." That's going to be chukas akum if there's no reason for it. Why? Diikal lemechash be mishum darkei ha'emori v'sheyesh bo shemetz avodas kochavim me'avoseihem. that we have to suspect that maybe this activity originates in some sort of shemetz of avodah zarah from previous generations. Not because anyone's going to look at you and say, what in the world are you doing? No, it's that when you are doing something that doesn't have a logical explanation, you have to suspect, why do people do this? Why do the Goyim do this? It must be that they're doing it because it's at least possible that it originates in some sort of avodah zarah from the previous generations. According to the Ramah's reading, anything that, even if it does have a good reason, but you know it originates from avodah zarah, you know it was used, may I say him, for thousands of years in the worship of avodah zarah, would clearly be usher. So this would be a significant nafkamina between the Ma'arik and the Ramah. Rav Moshe notes that there is a difference between the Ma'arik and the Ramah, so I'm not crazy when I notice this difference. Rav Moshe notes that they are not saying the same thing, and Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva Yardei Chelek Aleph Siman Pei Aleph, where he was asked, someone who comes from Polish Hasidim, from a family of Polish Hasidim, and now they live in America, and they want to know, are they allowed to wear American-style clothing? Are they allowed to wear Western clothing, or do they have to continue to wear whatever the Zayda wore in Poland? Why the Zayda wore what he wore in Poland is probably because the Polishes wore that, but okay. But he wants to know, can he wear Western-style clothing? So Moshe said, he discusses Chukas Akum, and he points out this distinction between Ramah and Ma'arik. And Ramoshe gives a different nafkamina. He says, "Ve'efsha shepligi bedavar she'in shayich klal shemetz akum v'nichosh shel ma'ariki ya'aser ularan upsak haramah ya'muter." Ramoshe gives a nafkamina in the other direction. What if you have something that you know for sure does not come from avodah zarah, where there's no concern that it comes from avodah zarah? He says, then the Ma'arik will be more machmir. Because if it doesn't have any logical explanation, the Ramah says the only time that you're going to be choshesh, that it's going to be a problem, is because it might come from avodah zarah me'avoseihem. Well, we know whatever's being cut on the fashion floors of France or of Paris or whatever, whatever's being sold in the stores, in the malls in the United States today, do not come from some sort of shemetz avodah zarah me'avoseihem. Clearly, the clothing that we find in stores comes from whenever people jumped up in the fashion industry this year, last year. It's not something that comes from shemetz avodah zarah. But if it's something that's ein bo tam, that doesn't have any reason whatsoever, and you're going to go with the Ma'arik's definition of why would you do that if not for the fact that you're trying to be like the Goyim, that you're trying to be moda to the Ovdei Chavim, then according to the Ma'arik, it would still be aser. Whereas according to the Ramah, the way the Ramah says that the only concern is shemetz avodah zarah, well, there's no shemetz avodah zarah here. It would definitely be mutter. Ramah goes on to say, but in this case of clothing, that you to wear Western style clothing is not a problem according to either of them, because he says this isn't clothing that was instituted by Goyim for Goyim. It was clothing for everybody. It's clothing that they made for whoever wants to buy it. It wasn't a specific minug ha'aku, minug of Ovdei Kochavim that was taken, so it wouldn't even, the question doesn't even get off the ground when it comes to the clothing. He says it's davar pashut that you're allowed to wear the Western style clothing. But Rav Moshe does make note of that distinction between the Ma'arik and the Ramah. So whereas the Ma'arik is more machmir and the Ramah more mekel in the case that Rav Moshe brings, in our case, the Ramah would be more machmir and the Ma'arik would be more mekel. There is, of course, a third shita, and that is the shita of the Vilna Gaon. The Gra on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch says that anything that they do, whether it has a reason or not, if it's a practice of the Goyim, we're not supposed to try that we would not have done had they not done it, and we're only doing it because they do it, so then we're not allowed to try to mimic such practices. And certainly that was Rav Soloveitchik, as we mentioned the other day, Rav Soloveitchik's major taina against conservative reform shuls is that it's a Christianized service, that much of what they do is clearly mimicking that which the Ovdei Kochavim do in their churches, and therefore he thought it was a terrible violation of Chukas Akum when they with the stained glass windows and the bima in the front and all of the things that are done to Christianize the service. I didn't mention the other day when we were talking about going into conservative shuls, when I was driving with Donnie Schreiber the other day, I mentioned to him that I was talking about going to conservative shuls, and Harav Schachter tells us, you know, for weddings and things like that, everyone knows you're not going to worship and it's totally fine, it's permissible, and everyone realizes that you're just going to celebrate. He said, you know, the only time Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he ever remembers Rav Aaron Lichtenstein getting agitated and not even wanting to explain explain something to him, and just getting angry at the question was when Rav Dani asked him once, Rav Schreiber asked him whether he's allowed to attend a wedding at a Reformed shul. It was an Orthodox couple, Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, and they were getting married at a Reformed shul. And he said, Rav Aaron got upset. He said, what? Why would Shomrei Torah mitzvahs get married in a Reformed shul? Well, what are they thinking? Why would they do that? And he said, can I go? And Rav Aaron said, no, you can't go to the wedding. And he said, why not? And Rav Aaron just like got upset. He didn't even want to. He didn't even explain to him. He didn't want to deal with it. So that's one sheet in terms of that. But the main taina that Rav Soloveitchik got was chukas hakum was like the gruz chukas hakum, taking their practices, whether they're beautiful, not beautiful, doesn't make a difference. Taking their practices and bringing it into our religion. So what are the heterim when it comes to doing yoga? So according to this, it would turn out that the marik is what if we would hold like the marik. And not like the Ramah, that would be one possible heter. Another possible heter that I came across, again that Sam Lauer sent me, was there's a sefer called Rishume Aaron. Rav Aaron Felder, who was the Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, wrote different psakim that he got from Rav Moshe, and he said that he asked Rav Moshe about yoga. And Rav Moshe told him, Mutter la'asos his'amlus ha'nikres yoga, mikivan she'inu inyin la'avodazara, afal pi she'mishtam shimbo kachana l'kach. That since the yoga itself is not Avodah Zarah, it is just a preparation for Avodah Zarah, therefore it's not Chukas Hakum. They used it as a way of preparing the mind, of meditating, and being ready to serve the Avodah Zarah, but it's not part of the Avodah Zarah service itself, therefore it's not Chukas Hakum. One has to look into that and see if that's factually correct, whether that Metzius is correct. Ada Yom HaZeh, there are yoga studios that have, in America, that have getchkas, that have little Avodah Zarah, little idols that they bring out and that at the end of the class and they bow to and do all sorts of things. So it's certainly something that needs looking into, whether it was really only used as a hachana or as part of an entire worship, an entire service. But that's a second possible heter. If Rav Moshe said such a thing, that it's only a hachana, maybe that would be a possible heter. A third possible heter is that maybe the whole idea of yoga predates any religious significance, and the religion was just attached to it later on, which if you do the research, it seems to be a machlokas in Metzius, what the history is of it. So maybe if it predates any religious significance, maybe one could argue that it would not be Chukas Hakum. However, in the Eretz Chaim de Tshuva that they published, they write that's all in terms of the actual exercises themselves. But in terms of the chanting, which we discussed last time as well, they say that you have to worry about mantra yoga and things like this, where they say Shemos of Avodah Zarah, and very often, if you don't know what they're saying, it is likely that they are saying Shemos of Avodah Zarah, so that is absolutely us. So they say you should not participate in any of the amming or the phrasing or the saying of things that that people do very often in these yoga classes. And then they go even a step further and they write that even if the instructor is a guy and he's being maskir shem avodah zarah, there's an isser lo yishama al picha. Sefer Achinuch Mitzvah Pei Vav says lo yishama al picha means not only are you not allowed to say a shem avodah zarah, you're not allowed to cause a shem avodah zarah to be said, and therefore participating in the class gives encouragement to the one who is instructing the class to say a shem avodah zarah. Even if he's a guy, it would therefore be usher to participate in such a class. That is what they write. Now, one could argue that if the class that you're participating in is a DVD or a video that you're watching on your computer, and you're not actually causing the guy to say it, he already said it 10 years ago when he recorded the video. One could argue that would not be a violation of Lishama al picha. But I would just caution that certainly in frum communities, if they want to kosherize the whole process, they should probably give different names to everything. They shouldn't call it any of the same names. They shouldn't play the Eastern music. They shouldn't do any of the spiritual side of it, and just do the stretching and the exercise part, if that in fact is mutter. I'm still not 100% convinced, but apparently I'm outvoted. Everyone else seems to think that it's mutter. So so if that in fact is mutter, they should keep it simply to that, and that people should be careful that just because it's they're comfortable doing it in one context doesn't mean that when they go on vacation somewhere and there's a gym in the hotel and they're offering a yoga class, that it's at all permissible to go to that class. Meaning, in a stam yoga class that's not being done with the proper sensitivities is very likely to include shemos avodah zarah, and you know, avodah zarah is a pretty big deal. We're machmir about a lot of little things in halacha, a lot of concerns that maybe it's going to cause to violate this, that. Avodah zarah is like a very, very big deal in the Torah, and we should probably stay away from anything that has any shemetz of avodah zarah.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.